All right, welcome back, guys. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch. And today we have a special guest, former Washington football team receiver Anthony Armstrong, who's also a co-host of the Believe in Commanders show. He's coming on behind enemy lines to give us some intel on that team. And
got spicy on there.
You know, what should we, you know, what we should be prepared for? I mean, that we haven't already, you know, glossed over. So we previewed the game with him. A lot of fun. Appreciate him as always.
And he said he wanted to be the next head coach for Washington football team at some point.
I heard it.
So
I heard it. So
folks out there who have a coaching spot open, if it's a Washington football team, Anthony is interested from this show.
he threw his name in the hat. But you guys have no idea what we're talking about. So let's move on to Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy. You can start playing Pick'em or Weekly Fantasy for any sport today. Users will receive 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use promo code BelieveInRams at sign up. Start playing Pick'em and Weekly Fantasy football today with Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy. That is right, Cam. Also, just so you know, in case you didn't know or don't want to know, I don't know, but Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. Get the latest odds, lines, and match reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Get in on the action. Use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And well, I think that's where the rest of this show starts. So we'll dive right in. You guys will enjoy it. It's going to be me, yours truly, as always, Cam Lynch, and Anthony Armstrong previewing the Rams and Commanders Week 15 matchup. We'll see you guys on the flip.
Woo.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch, as always. And joining us is our very special guest from behind enemy lines, Anthony Armstrong, who is also the co-host of Believe in Commanders. How you doing, my friend? Thank you so much for coming on.
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, JK. I appreciate y'all having me. I got a little cup of coffee here. I'm ready to talk ball, so let's do this thing.
Jake, why you say enemy lines, my man? Why you have to start it off so hot like that, so spicy like that?
I think it adds a little bit to it, you know? It's like, flavor. Oh, man, this guy's got the intel. All right.
I gotta turn up my take now, man. I got to turn it up on y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, let's get started. I've been watching a lot of Commanders football this year. I mean, you know, we do another show covering the NFL, so a lot of NFL football in general. I've been really impressed with Sam Howell. You know, I understand some things haven't gone, you know, extremely well. But the guy's a gunslinger. He's a young quarterback. He's playing in his first legitimate season as a starter. I want to get your thoughts, you know, kind of going into this game, seeing what, you know, Lamar Jackson did, seeing those miscommunications in the Rams-Ravens game. Do you feel like Sam Howell can take advantage of this secondary?
I mean, Sam Howell is a talented quarterback. That's the first and foremost thing. And you're right, he is a gunslinger, and you've seen him put up countless amounts of yards. The toughest thing for him is it's hard to work when you're at 3rd and 25, right? When you're getting sacked 55, 60 times, you're working with horrible down and distance situations. But outside of that, the guy is doing what you need him to do. He's tough. He gets hit. He stands there in the pocket and will deliver the next throw. And plus, he'll drop a dime here and there, a la Matt Stafford. So I like what he's done. Obviously, you want wins to come with that, and that's going to happen, but so far so good with what's going on in his career.
And Anthony, really quick, you know, as a receiver, you play receiver for Washington football team. Of course, they were named something different, but when you have a quarterback, you're always on 3rd and 20. As a receiver, what's your thought process? If we're on 3rd and 20, okay, man, make sure I get to the sticks. Like, what does that look like? What goes to your mind?
Man, you don't have that many plays for that down and distance first and foremost. So it's probably going to be like a deep dagger concept where they're trying to, you know, hopefully drop a dime. But the defense knows that too. So it's just going to be a picket fence situation. Chances are they check it down and you hopefully break a tackle and get there. But outside of that, if it's 3rd and 20, I don't think I'm getting the rock, honestly, man. It's, unless it's a Hail Mary, they're just setting up for a punt at that point.
Yeah, that's true. Looking at, you know, one of the biggest names on this team, Terry McLaurin, obviously plays the position you played He hasn't quite had a like a breakout game in a minute. You know, he hasn't had a Terry McLaurin scary Terry-esque game. How do you see him going into this one, knowing, you know, the Dolphins game was a disaster, three targets, no receptions. Dallas, he showed a little bit, but that game, just the game flow gets away a little bit in that one. And he hasn't had, you know, over 70 yards at the very least since New England back, you know, November 5th. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on McLaurin going into this one against the Rams?
Yeah, I would love to see him get back on track, at least make somebody happy in the camp right now. I mean, with news of John Allen thinking about leaving, we want to keep Terry McLaurin happy and in Washington. So throw that guy the ball early and throw it to him often. The thing about this offense is that I feel like you almost have too many weapons, and it's meant to just run the system, and then the ball will go to whoever's open. And if that's the way it is, defenses can determine where the ball is going to go. And at this point, they're making it hard to get the ball to Terry McLaurin. He does lead the team in receptions and yards, but it's at a much slower clip than what was expected. I thought we were going to have a 1,300-yard season from Terry. And right now, we're hopeful that he gets to 1,000 to keep his streak going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, the running back who's just – I mean, Cam, I think you and I talked about it. Brian Robinson, just an inspiration, what he's gone through. He's been dealing with some hamstring issues and such. Should we expect to see Brian Robinson this week, considering the injuries and stuff?
I think you need to run him out there. You know, this last four games is you got to see who's on your team, who's going to be here in the future. I think he has a great spot on this team, and he brings that physicality that helps this offense thrive. You got to see Eric Bieniemy call more run plays and lean on that running back room a little bit more. But Brian Robinson has really shown his worth this year, running the ball and catching the ball out of the backfield. Absolutely amazing. I don't think anybody knew that he was going to be able to catch the ball and do what he does with the ball in his hand. So you have a little bit of a weapon back there, right? And just the way you see the offense evolve, the way you see Sam get to him in checkdowns, it can be big in this game. I mean, you already know what teams are going to try to do. They're going to stack the box and make Sam throw it and put pressure with Aaron Donald, the rest of that defense. So get ready, Brian Robinson. You're getting active this week.
Yeah, and I agree, Anthony. You talked about just the running back room and how they can catch out of the backfield. Well, we go to the Rams game, right, versus the Ravens. There was a tight end wheel route. There was a running back wheel route. I saw the Dolphins versus Washington football team. You all ran a bunch of wheel routes. And Anthony, you know, in my time playing football, that was my Achilles heel, Anthony. I just didn't know how to figure out how to get over some of those picks. You know, they got the F and X split with the receiver and the running back. They're kind of tight. And then the linebacker has to either go over top or go underneath. I can see that happening in this game. Anthony, there was, like I said, two times the Rams, they failed to cover that. Even the game before this, the Rams failed to cover these wheel routes, right? A lot of times the corners, you know, they cover that zone and there's like a guy leaking out the last minute. So can you just talk about that game plan? How do you all look to attack the Rams' game? Because there has been some miscommunication on the back end for the Rams DBs.
Well, the miscommunication is huge. You talk about the one thing about this league is that if you see a weak point, you got to go and poke back at it and see if they fix it. Because if they didn't, we're going to do this early. We're going to do this often. So I would love to see Antonio Gibson working himself on a wheel route. But the thing about that, the play you're calling, I mean, it makes it difficult on that defender. So if he goes underneath, you got the wheel route. If he goes under over the top, now you're throwing it to the angle, the receiver underneath. So it's a pick your poison type of play. But it's one of those things that you set up over time. And I think EB is going to do a good job with that. Now, overall, how do you attack this Rams defense? I would love to see it happen through the air. And you know Eric Bieniemy is going to do that. But, I mean, when you got 99 up front, y'all got a guy named Aaron Donald. You got to take care of him first and foremost. That's the game plan. Slow him down. And then whatever else he lets you do, you go and do that. Because he's going to be very disruptive against this offensive line. I already said they've given up almost over 60 sacks now. Chances are they're going to get over to 70. So if we can keep 99 off of Sam Howell, that's a great start for what this game plan can be.
I mean, I'll say this. The Rams pressured Lamar Jackson 29 times this week. I don't know what that equates to going up against the bad offensive line, I guess is what we could call it.
Probably 25 sacks. That's probably what it is. Call it what it is.
But
get the ice tub ready.
I'll say this. I've been watching a lot, you know, since the bye. Raheem Morris has done such a nice job of, okay, we're not getting pressure this way. We're going to use Ernest Jones as the blitzing run, the blitzing linebacker. And sure enough, guys leading all inside linebackers in pressures. So it's working. I'm expecting a lot of that. I think they're really going to get after Sam. What helps the Rams is going up against Lamar Jackson, going up against Kyler Murray, going up against, you know, guys like that, Geno Smith, guys that can make plays off schedule, off script. You know, Lamar, I mean, they just, he has his way, but Sam Howell's not the athlete Lamar is. He's a good athlete, but he's more like Baker Mayfield, a little bit less than Lamar Jackson. And so I think it does play into the Rams' hands, you know, well there. This also is a team that, looking at the defensive side of it, trading away guys that they did at the deadline in, you know, Chase and, of course, Montez. That pass rush, well, I don't want to take anything away from guys like Tua Hill and, you know, Smith Williams, because I think they've played pretty decent. They're not Montez Sweat and Chase Young. And so I think that would be really the key element here on the defensive side, is for Washington to get pressure, not allow Stafford to be upright. This past week, we saw their right tackle, Rob Habenstein, went down, and the whole game was Joseph Noteboom. And I mean, I know Sean McVay said he did a good job, but I think the tape says otherwise. So, you know, there's opportunities there. If Habenstein is not in, do you think this pass rush can get to Stafford and make him uncomfortable?
You know, they've had flashes. Like you said, Casey Tuhill, he's got, what, six some odd sacks this season. He was, you know, before the trade, he was third on the team in sacks, and now I think he's the leader. So they've found their way. And against the Giants a few weeks back, they had to use some pressure from linebackers, which you hadn't seen all year. David Mayo had two sacks. So mixing some things up to try to get the Stafford will be helpful. Stafford's a guy where if you get hits on him, you can kind of affect him. You affect his game a little bit. He'll maybe fly some balls a little bit out there and allow some picks. But the issue is, the back end for Washington has been like a homecoming game for opponents. Like, if you need to get on a stride, right, you would call this team in and then you could get things going. It's like Alabama playing a directional Mississippi team, right? So if the back end isn't able to slow down Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and the rest of the passing attack, then it's just going to be a whole bunch of wide open holes back there. And it could get ugly. It really could. I mean, you look at, y'all put up 31 points last week, 30 some odd points the week prior. Washington's given up 40 points in the last two games, 45 each in the last two games. So they're primed to give up a lot of yards. So they're going to have to find a way to stick close to these receivers and apply pressure to Matt Stafford, or just hope that there's some incompletions.
It's funny you say that. You know, also on the Rams side, Sam Howell knows how to throw that football, right? He knows how to throw that football. He was leading the league in passing yards at one point. And so I think that's really important to call out. We talked about it. The Rams DBs, you see the miscommunication. They're not on the same page yet. And so I can see Sam Howell taking advantage of that. But going back to the running game, I think on the Rams side and the Washington football team side, I'm looking here versus the Dolphins. I think Antonio Gibson, I mean, man, the rushing yards were pretty low there, right? 10 carries total, 35 yards overall. And so that is a little concerning, right, when you figure out you need to run the football. But even on the Rams side here, Anthony, I want to kind of talk about this Ravens and Rams game a little bit. The Rams ran the ball seven times in a row to Kyron Williams, seven times in a row. Jake, I want to talk to you about this too. We get to the end zone, Jake, we start passing the damn football now. It's the mentality, Anthony, you know this, right? Is when you're crushing somebody in the run game, keep doing it. Put those guys away. Do what works at the end of the day. And the Rams got away from that in the end zone. And I think that was reflective, to be honest, on the final score. If they just showed the Ravens, hey, I know we're here, I know it's cold, we're not used to this, but we're going to run the football down your necks each play. I think that's what the Rams need to have, that killer mentality to make it to the playoffs. You know, and I do feel like that, you know, the Ravens, they're going to be in the playoffs. I got them going to the Super Bowl. And so going up against teams like that, you got to bury them. You got to bury them. And so, you know, Anthony, for the Washington football team, what does that look like, right? Is, you know, the Rams are probably kicking themselves like, damn, we should have ran the ball more. We should have ran the ball. And knowing that this football game, you might run the football a lot more in that sense. So how are you all looking to stop that, the pass and the run? What does that look like?
You know, you got to lean on your two big dogs up front. I mean, John Allen, Daron Payne, those two guys are going to set the tone. If they're creating pressure and causing havoc in the backfield and making third and long, it's going to make y'all pass the ball rather than being able to run it and commit to that. But the other part about it that I get a little worried about, because there's been a few of these reunion games for Washington, is that Sean McVay used to be up there in Washington. Mm-hmm. Right? He used to be the offensive coordinator. He started as an assistant. Hell, I know Sean. I got a picture right here with Sean McVay in that 2001 staff, where wow, all those great head coaches in there. So he probably has a little chip on his side where he wants to, you know, get a few extra points here and there. So honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't try to throw the ball down close to the goal line. But that leans to me to say Washington get to that bend but don't break mentality. Last week, Tyreek Hill went crazy. I think he had 157 yards on two catches. Outside of that, they shut him down. But he had 157 on two catches and two tubs. So if you can limit that type of production and maybe make L.A. drive down the field and short in the field by getting into the red zone, it plays to your strengths, and you can hopefully come away with some plays down there holding the field goals rather than touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. So I gotta ask you, because I don't really understand why this Washington team is so bad in the secondary. They have some talent. I mean, I praised Cameron Curl at length before the season started. I know he's more of a run supportive safety and not necessarily a cover guy, but he's not a bad cover safety, at least based on what I've seen. Percy Butler, I was very big on coming out of the draft. And then Benjamin St. Juste, I've seen some of, you know, what he can do on film. I think he's honestly, he plays really well. You know, he's really developed. And then, you know, you have a veteran in Kendall Fuller, and you draft Emmanuel Forbes, who was my guy in the draft. And it's like, what's going on here? I mean, I've seen Emmanuel Forbes. He's just not getting it. I think it's just, it's also one of the hardest positions to play as a rookie. So I'm not trying to say that's not. But it just seems like this team should be better in the back end of the secondary.
I'm with you. I think I was grading them today with Brian Murphy on our show on Believe in Commanders. I gave them a D. I think that they really just haven't played well at all. Kendall Fuller's had a good season. He's had a good season. You don't hear his name often because he's generally over there locking up and doing his job. It's the other young guys that have been hurting the team right now. You know, St. Juste is still, he's learning that position. He has the tools. He's big. He's physical. He can run pretty well, but he gets a little handsy. And so when you're going against these crafty receivers in Nacua and Cooper Kupp, I'm getting a little worried about, you know, these pass interference calls. Is this going to extend plays? Are you giving free plays away by these things happening? And now with Forbes, now for what it's worth, he had a murderer's row of receivers come through. I mean, that the guy had he had Stephon Diggs, he had AJ Brown, he had DJ Moore. Yes, welcome to the league. Now, number one, I love the fact that he's like, I'll go up there and take that challenge. But, Cam, as you know, you have to quickly learn these lessons. Like, if you slip out of your break, do not go for the ball now. Just go for the tackle. You have to start playing that much better because everybody is better. This ain't just the SEC. This is like the SEC times 10, times 20. Yeah. You know, that's what the league is.
Yeah, and it's their resume at the end of the day. Anthony, like you mentioned, sometimes, you know, you want to go lock down the premier receiver, but it might be like, hey, buddy, help me out because I'm getting torsion. This is my resume, right? People are going to look at this year and be like, Anthony Forrest, can my boy cover? You know, like, what does that look like? A lot of times we want to do stuff on our own and he might have to ask for extra help. And Anthony, you talked about just some of those flags and getting handsy on different plays. I thought about Tutu Atwell. When I was watching Tyreek Hill, I know Tutu got banged up a little bit last game, but I was thinking of Tutu, like, Tutu, run down there, draw a flag, get us down there on the 10-yard line, and let's run the football in, not necessarily pass it all the time. But I can see that happening where the Rams getting down the field in that sense. And Anthony, I want to ask you, when it comes to this Washington football team, who's the X factor in your mind? What does that look like for you? Who is that one player that's like, ooh, no one's really paying attention to, but this is the guy? And we have some guys for the Rams as well that are emerging that we want to talk about from this last Ravens game. But who are those X factors for you in the Washington football team?
Man, on that offensive side, I feel like it changes from week to week. You know, you're expecting somebody to jump out with a big game. And the guy that I'm waiting on, I'm still holding out for, is Jahan Dotson. Because the way that he runs his routes, his run after catch, the guy is absolutely special. It's electric, and it's a part of this offense that we're missing. You're missing the ability to just throw it to somebody and let him go do his thing. like I said earlier, you're third and 15. You don't got many plays for that, right? And everybody just waits till you throw it, and then they converge on the receiver and tackle him. So if Jahan can get rolling, I think that can help things. Other things happen in this offense and get some people loosened up and get them open.
I agree. I mean, I think we saw what Zay Flowers did for the Ravens last week. I mean, you know, this past week, it was
he went crazy,
but he was locked down until the end, you know. And I think it's important, because when you have these corners, I mean, Akello Witherspoon is playing at such a high level. He'll pretty much take away your number one receiver if he's on him. But you know, it's like Darion Kendrick has had a good year at times, and he's kind of had like a down year at times. Like he's not disciplined. What's weird is that he's in position, and it kind of goes back to what Anthony was saying. He's like, you're in position, but then you get grabby or you flail your arms. Like, you're already in position. Trust your instincts. And I feel like it's something where you don't want to knock him too much, because he's a sixth round corner that has now started in back-to-back years. I mean, that's very impressive, right? But yeah, at the same time, you know, you're starting for the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, this team won Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, they're in the playoff race. You can't be having those slip-ups. But I think the biggest thing about, you know, this past week with the safeties, just not being on the same page, really uncharacteristic mistakes that we haven't seen. I mean, for the most part, Raheem Morris has had this defense well-coached. There have been slip-ups. You know, there have been a missed tackle. There have been some things where, you know, DK Metcalf takes a catch that should be a quick slant, you know, for 9 yards, and he turns into a 70-yard touchdown, yeah, and things like that. But, you know, you don't normally see guys just up and leave Isaiah Likely wide open 60 yards, yeah, downfield. You don't
coverage bust. Yeah.
You don't see that. And we saw three of them. I think they missed another one, believe it or not, but we saw three of them. Odell scored on one of them.
Yeah, it's like, Odell, I cover him, man. Like, you know, he played for you. Come on.
If you're going to pick anybody to cover, pick Odell. Like, don't, you know, there's certain numbers that you got to pay attention to. I mean, I will say, the offensive side has to be excited for Washington to see those shot plays, you know, and Sam will throw that thing. He'll put that baby out there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, right now, this is just everybody just go out there, have fun, play ball, because really you need to be playing for one of these top couple draft picks. All right. Don't even worry about the win. Just go over there, try to get you some draft picks, and have your young guys go out there and ball and have fun. Because it's too much drama in Washington for what's been good coming into the season. They get into that drama state again, and I'm not a fan of that, man. Not at all.
And like, you mentioned that, right? Like, kind of get ready for next season. What does that look like? You know, I was undrafted, you know what I mean? And so for me, I was like, I couldn't afford for that. I got to go out there and play every day. And so, Anthony, I know you mentioned now that we're not playing football anymore, we're kind of on the outside looking in. Hey, guys, do this. But can you take us into that player's mentality for a Washington football team? Like, yeah, for some of those guys, they gotta play well, because they don't know what their next team is gonna be. So can you just walk us through that a little bit?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you understand that Ron Rivera is likely headed out as head coach, and probably a lot of those coaches and maybe some front office people as well. So there's gonna be a whole entire new regime. And when I go back to my time when I was there, I got there as a practice squad player. And then that was when the Shanahan regime was working their way in. And I rolled the dice. I said, I'm going to stay here and be with Washington, because it's a new head coach, new offensive coordinator. I can impress these guys rather than go to a different team and hope for the best. It worked out for me. And now you got young guys on these teams that are going to get some reps that maybe they didn't get that many before. You're going to get some opportunities, and you're auditioning for 32 teams. Y'all in LA, y'all know what it is. All the top producers are going to be watching your tape. You got an audition reel for 4 weeks. All right. Are you finna be in the next Denzel movie? Or are you finna be on the outside talking about how you should be in the next Denzel movie?
Oh, I
it's
love
up
that.
To you. It's completely, it is really up to you. I mean, it honestly is. Think about the last game, the preseason game. It was, what was his name? Victor Cruz against the Jets. He was wearing what, number 6 or something like that? They were like, who is this kid? Dude goes off for like 4 touchdowns, salsa in his ass off. And now here he is, a fashion mogul. He's a legend in the NFL. And I mean, big things happen in these moments where you think there's not much to play for.
Yeah, don't you remember what's his face? I know he lost his starting job before he even had a chance to play to Russell Wilson, but Matt Flynn got paid like long-term deal money, this giant contract, because of one game he started when Aaron Rodgers was sitting in the final game of the year.
And calling the plays. Aaron called those plays too.
That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can never rule it out. Which brings me to, you know, to wrap this thing up here. This is why there is virtually no excuse for the Rams to lose this game. They're 3-1 since the bye. You're telling me that they're playing for fun. The Rams are trying to make the playoffs. It was just, there's a different, you know, it's in LA. Okay. Sean McVay, I was at his first game against Washington as the head coach of the Rams. Okay. That still should sting. Like he should never want to lose to that team ever again. Think about that. That was the first loss that he had was against his former team. Like that at the Coliseum.
You know, he's salty. You know, he remembers these things. The way he remembers plays, he knows. Oh, he knows. He's very aware.
Yeah. And he could tell you the personnel grouping they had and the play they ran. And it's gnarly. That was the game where Todd Gurley hurtled over. I forget who it was. Josh Norman, maybe. It was crazy.
But
that was fun. But this is what I'll say, is that there's no excuse for the Rams to lose this game. Absolutely none. I'm going to, if you're cool, Anthony, I don't know. Not everyone loves giving score predictions. I'm going to say the Rams win this game. I'm going to say Washington scores 13, and I'll say the Rams, they break the streak of 40. I think that they end up scoring 38.
Ooh, Lord.
38-13.
That's a little disrespectful, my boy.
Yeah, you got us over there getting wild, man. The daggum spread ain't but 7, 6.5. Golly, I don't think they're gonna lay down like that now.
How many teams are you gonna get? How are you gonna play that lose a game the way they just lost to the Ravens?
Hey, I get that. I know that, you know, Rams coming off of a tough one.
Hey, talk your smack, Anthony.
You're not gonna drag this team. You're not gonna drag Washington that bad, okay?
At least give you compliments.
I do this here. I do think that the Rams are the better team right now. They're playing for something. They got a little bit more going their way. But I at least got to say Washington gonna cover. They can cover. You can go. You can call. What you have? 36 or something? What you have?
I went 38-13.
Okay, fine. 38-33. All right. We have a shootout. Sam Howell versus Matt Stafford is going down in LA, but unfortunately, I think the Commanders come up a little short.
Yeah, and I'll jump in with mine. Like you mentioned, if the Rams run this football, Anthony, it could be a long day. If they run a football like they should, it could be a long day. And I want to talk about our two X factors. Dennis Allen playing tight end, stepped in and done a great job. I think that's something that we need to talk about. And then our guy, then we have another one as well. We got a great receiver. DeMarcus Robinson that y'all should look out for. I think they're gonna show up on this tape. So for this game, I got the I'm not gonna be disrespectful near Anthony. I'm gonna say Rams 33 on this one, and then I'm gonna go to Washington football team 27. That's what I'm gonna call for this one. I'm not going to be too disrespectful, but I do think the Rams are going to come away with this one. And it's funny, too, Anthony, we talked about it last week. We said that the Rams were going to lose to the Ravens. And now we're watching that game, Anthony. I was like, oh, snap. Are we going to have to come on today and say we were wrong for saying that the Rams were going to lose to the Ravens, who we think are going to be in the Super Bowl? But we were right, thankfully, for this one. Hopefully, we're right for this one as well. And I do think it's going to be a good matchup with Sean McVay going against his old team.
It really will. It really will. I mean, all in all, it comes down to the guys on the field, you know, and Eric Bieniemy can call some plays. And if it gets to be a shootout, that gets to be pretty exciting. That's what's going to give Washington the best bet, because they're not going to commit to the run. They're not going to do that. It's just not in his MO. It's not in his repertoire right now, speaking French. Okay, so I know they're going to throw the ball around if they can control it, if they don't turn the ball over. Well, that's going to give Washington a chance to stay in this thing.
Yeah, we'll see. I think right now, just the thing that makes the Rams so scary, and we saw it against the Ravens, is that, you know, while this defense definitely gave up some head scratchers, that defensive line game, like I said, 29 pressures on Lamar. What we're seeing out of Akello Witherspoon, what we're seeing out of Ernest Jones, Raheem Morris, just in general, what he's gotten out of
Kobe Turner. Kobe Turner, don't forget about him. He's Kobe Turner.
But then in addition to that, looking at the offensive side, what no one wants to talk about is Matthew Stafford. The vision coming in was that Cam Akers was going to be a franchise running back. Matthew Stafford has had, what, 17 games in which a running back has gone over 100 yards? Kyren Williams, my friend Blaine Grisak, Turf Show Times, gave me this info. Kyren Williams has the all-time thing there for most 100-yard games with Matthew Stafford. That's saying a lot. The guy is brand new for the most part. So, you know, I think now Stafford's able to play a little bit more just like, I guess, a less Superman where I have to put the teep on my back. And now it's starting to really resemble what the Rams' vision was going into 2021 to 2022 season when they got Matthew Stafford, thinking, you know, Cam Akers isn't going to kill, you know, tear his Achilles. You know, Daryl Henderson is going to stay healthy and they're not going to have to trade for Sony Michel and all that stuff happens. And it's like, so I think it's really allowed some guys to flourish. I think that's why DeMarcus Robinson has come on strong, but we'll see. It should be a very interesting game because it's a team that has an equalizer at quarterback. I know I said 38-13, but I'll tell you, the way football goes, man, you have a turnover, you have a pick six, something like that. I mean, everyone turned off that game. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people turned off that game last night, you know, with the Dolphins. You know, it's like, oh, it's over. You know, they're not coming back. The Titans are done. Titans came back and won. Same thing as last year. Joe Flacco goes down the field, does the same exact thing, scores 14 points in the last 2 minutes to beat Cleveland on the road last year, week two. The league is so unpredictable, and it's why, even though the Rams, I mean, they need to win this game. They need to win the next three at the very least, and they should. This is why we have to go and we have to actually watch it happen because you just never know.
Shout out to Herm Edwards, man. This is why we play the game, right? This is it. I mean, you have to show up. You have to execute. Yesterday, everybody had Miami circled. And that fell out. Everybody had Green Bay circled, and Tommy Cutlets had other plans, man. He had other plans. You see that jacket he came out there in? That boy had a pink Old Navy fleece on, man. That boy was fly coming out there. I see you, young Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, Anthony, it's been a lot of fun. You guys, it's been a lot of fun. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. You can follow me at JK Bogan. You could follow Cam at Cameron Lynch 50. And Anthony, where can they follow all of your great stuff?
Follow me at Rated Armstrong. That's what it is. At Rated Armstrong.
I love
Armstrong.
That. Yeah. That's great. That's all I got. Cam, what do you got? Any last final thoughts?
Man, to be honest, Anthony, I know we got to run here, but I'm curious about the future of the Washington football team. You know, if you had any coaches in mind that you would hope to lead that team, not saying, you know, that Riverboat runs, you know, I don't want to get them out there right away, but I'm just curious, like, really quick, you know, any thoughts of like a dream coach? Is it Bienemy? What does that look like for you all?
You know, I thought it was Bienemy, but with the rumblings of people not being too happy with him, I don't know if they're going to be able to let him stay there on any role other than a promotion to head coach. So who is that head coach? I'm not sure. I think it's more about who you can throw into that locker room. They need a vocal leader. They need a Bobby Wagner. They need somebody that's going to dictate how that defense runs and make sure that the standard stays high, because it hasn't happened in a long time since London Fletcher left. They need to make sure they find that guy this offseason.
Rams legend, London Fletcher. maybe they need a Bill Belichick. That's what you just said. I mean, essentially.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
You didn't say I'm a vocal leader.
Ain't coming back. No, he needs to be on the field. It needs to be somebody that's going to hold this team.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? They're going to be able to walk in there and say, this is not good enough. We need to raise our standard. That needs to happen from inside the locker room at some point in time. It can't always come from the coaches, though. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. And I mean, they'll have an opportunity. There are guys in the draft. I mean, that can be culture changers. Obviously, they'll have a decent pick. And then, you know, free agency, there's always guys. I think Wagner signed a 1-year deal. So you might be onto something there.
Levante David.
They got money to blow. They got money to blow. They got about $90 million in cap space. So
that's a lot of cap space.
Yeah. I guess if they need a coach, I'll throw my name in the hat. So let it know. Okay. Let it be known here. I throw my name in the hat for the head coaching position in Washington.
Oh, wow.
Man, I'd have to root for Washington, man. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. You might threw your name in the hat, and then all of a sudden, you know, Adam Schefter's like, yeah, Anthony Armstrong is the head coach of the Washington Commanders now.
Hey, why not you?
Why not me? Why not?
Why not?
that part.
All right. Well, we're going to end this thing. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Later, folks.